Money FM 89.3, best of prime time.
This is prime time on Money FM 89.3. I'm Rachel Kelly. On Saturday, India became the first country in the world to cross 400,000 new COVID-19 cases in a 24-hour period. On Sunday, just the day after, the country recorded its highest daily death tally. In a recent article, Bloomberg highlighted that this is not just a humanitarian disaster, but global growth, international reopening plans, inflation, supply chains, and geographic asset allocation decisions will all be impacted by the current situation in India. To find out more, we're joined now by Marcus Wong, macro strategist at Bloomberg. Marcus, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today.
Hi, Rachel. Thank you for having me.
So, Marcus, as I mentioned in the introduction, on Saturday, India recorded 400,000 new COVID-19 cases within 24 hours, the first country to do so during this pandemic. In a recent report, you highlighted that the country's seven-day average vaccination rate has also slowed by more than 35% from its peak in early April amid increasing stories around limited supply. Now, with India set to be the primary manufacturer of vaccines for the developed world, what does this mean for global vaccine supplies? What does it mean for the current situation in India? Can you give us an update?
Well, I guess what happens in India really has ramifications for the global vaccine drive. Because as you correctly pointed out, it is the world's vaccine manufacturing hub. But I think before we delve into that, I think maybe a bit of context is needed to understand how we got here. You see, when India launched its vaccination drive in January this year, it was looking at less than 20,000 cases daily. And with COVID-19 similarly under control back then, the government and Prime Minister Modi were very bullish on India's inoculation prospects. The country seemed to think that the worst was behind it, with several Indian states conducting elections with active campaigning to large groups, while millions were gathering at the annual pilgrimage festival on the banks of the Ganges. So in addition, I think India offered its manufacturing capabilities to the COVAX initiative, which essentially aims to ensure low-income countries have access to COVID-19 vaccines. You know, fast forward 3 months later, I think the situation is very different. As you mentioned, 400,000 cases, over 400,000 cases daily. And you know, there are a lot of reports of hospitals running out of beds, oxygen tanks, and you know, with funeral fires burning 24/7 just to keep up with demand to cremate the dead. In addition to that, you know, there is also talk about how some states are also running out of vaccine supplies, with India also having stop vaccine export shipments. So I mean, generally, there are only two ways to slow or stop the spread of COVID, which is either via lockdowns or vaccination. And, you know, as mentioned by vaccination earlier, I think less than 10% of the population have been given the first vaccine shot, while only 2% of the population is fully vaccinated in India, according to some data compiled by Bloomberg. So essentially, India still has quite a lot of catching up to do. India's move to keep its vaccine from its local population instead of exporting them understandably has had global ramifications too. You know, countries across the globe, from Brazil to Bangladesh, are reported to be scrambling to find fresh vaccine suppliers, with quite a few countries turning to China as a backup. And these are all countries that are also facing a resurgent virus situation, though not as bad as India. Nonetheless, I don't think it's all bleak moving forward, you know, for the famous idiom that is a darkest hour just before the dawn. I have to emphasize that, you know, vaccines work extraordinarily well, as shown by Israel and the UK, where the seven-day average virus case counts have dropped by 98% and 95% from their respective peaks. You know, and while the global vaccine rate has stalled in recent weeks, you know, more than 1 billion doses will have been administered by the end of April. So our Bloomberg economists are actually expecting India's vaccine production capacity to possibly double by July to around 170 million doses monthly from around 80 million doses currently.
Okay, and based so on this good production... news, good news for India and good news for global supplies.
Good news in the not in the immediate few weeks, but you know, around the corner, we are making the turn. And I think they made the same this projection that based on these numbers, economists you know expect sufficient coverage for India's adult urbanites by possibly as early as September, which should actually give the economy some space to recover in the second half.
So let's talk about India's economy, though, because with international aid now coming in, and as you mentioned, vaccine production could be ramping up in July. Are things starting to look up? Is the light at the end of the tunnel?
Eventually is the operative word here. I think the short and long of it is that things will possibly get worse before it gets better. So maybe on India's economy, you're right. You know, the firstly, I think that the impact will be most obvious. I think for the India's fiscal year, which covers April of last year to March of this year, they expect, our economists expect a contraction of 7.5%, which would be, one of the worst contraction in years. Nonetheless, I'd like to highlight that, unlike the virus wave of last year, which saw a nationwide lockdown, India has gone for state-level lockdowns in state. And this has been seen in places such as Maharashtra, Tamil Nadu, and Delhi. While all are economically important states, I mean, the impact will still be less than the nationwide lockdown seen last year. That said, and this is a caveat, is that a nationwide lockdown cannot be ruled out, especially if the situation deteriorates even further. Anthony Fauci, US President's chief medical advisor, recently advised that that India needs to shut down the country for a few weeks to control the COVID-19 outbreak. And this local newspaper, the Indian Express, actually cited unnamed members of the government's virus task force saying that India needs to impose a nationwide lockdown. And a paper adding that, a lockdown for at least 2 weeks will be needed to break the transmission chain and decrease the caseload and to give medical infrastructure room to catch up. Secondly, I think, this virus situation should also mean a more accommodative central bank or RBI for the foreseeable future, which of course will be a slight positive for equities look further down the road. The Indian Central Bank has at times found itself between a rock and a hard place, to be honest. On the one hand, you have an economy that has been heavily impacted by the virus, while at the same time, the central bank has had to contend with surging inflationary pressures. But for now, it seems that the bank seems to be looking past the possible jump in supply side inflation again, as it focuses on spurring the economy.
We're speaking with Marcus Wong, macro strategist at Bloomberg. Marcus, you mentioned equities there. What impact has all of this had on India's markets? Where's the Sensex at now? And what kind of outlook are you looking at for Indian stocks?
That's an excellent question. I guess you could say, unsurprisingly, this virus resurgence has had an impact on the stock market and the rupee for that matter. Year to date, India Sensex is still up by about 2.2%. I mean, this pales in comparison to the Hang Seng, which is up by 5%, and our very own SDI, which is up by a whopping 13%. In addition, I think India's rupee is also the worst performing Asian currency in the second quarter so far. And I have to say this, I mean, part of the reason why stocks in India have, and many emerging markets for that matter have stayed afloat is due to the dovish policy of RBI, their respective central banks, as well as the ultra low rates in developed countries, namely the US. But maybe before moving further into that, I may want to touch slightly on the outcome of the recent key Indian state elections over the weekend, because I think this has also a bearing on essentially risk assets moving forward. So as I mentioned earlier, there was some election politician going on. So what happened with the results were out, I think, over the weekend, and it seems that the Prime Minister's party lost the election in the key state of West Bengal. It was a state election that the Prime Minister was quite confident that he would win just a month ago or so. Yep. The opposition also, made inroads into southern states of Tamil Nadu and Kerala, while Modi's party actually kept power in the northern eastern state of Assam and gained the federally controlled territory of Puducherry. So of course, grim scenes have overshadowed the election in recent weeks. As you mentioned, daily deaths in India have hit a record of over 3,600 deaths on Sunday. Well, again, looking ahead, I think is Indian stocks as well globally, they face quite uncertain second half of 2021. And here I'll probably share some key milestones that investors could actually take note of. I think at the end of the day, markets react to how the Federal Reserve is expected to, move rates moving forward. So, of course, there is talk that the Federal Reserve could start to hint of tapering in the second half of this year. Quite a few analysts are actually expecting some announcement to be made at the Jackson Hole meeting in August, which essentially is a meetup between the major central bank heads, essentially. The point with this is that if there's any whiff of less accommodation or support from the Fed, this would cause possibly send US rates and yields up again, which of course would impact equity markets in the US and the rest of the world. And it's probably akin to what we saw in the first quarter of this year. But why at the Jackson Hole meeting? You know, I guess it's precedence, right? The Fed chairs tend to take the opportunity during that meeting to announce key policy changes. Previously, the Fed chair Jerome Powell actually announced a revision to the Fed's 2% inflation targeting regime at Jackson Hole. So I think all in all, you know, moving forward in the near term, we could possibly see the Sensex be continued to be weighed down by various cases. And looking forward into the second half, I think investors will still have to contend with a possible possible policy normalization from the US and further increase in US yields, which may, you know, be a further drag on stock markets globally and in India.
Well, Marcus, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today. We've been speaking with Marcus Wong, macro strategist at Bloomberg. You're listening to Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.